We are on a mission to help lawyers and law firm owners maximize wealth and achieve financial independence. Welcome to The Lawyer Millionaire with Darren Wirtz from Wirtz Financial Services. In this podcast, we will help you build wealth, minimize your taxes, and plan for retirement with money management strategies designed for the legal profession. Join us in this journey where we help you manage your money so you can make the most of your future. Start feeling confident in knowing you are well prepared for retirement and on track to financial independence. Now on to the show.
Here's a pressing question. Are you leaving more money on the table for the IRS than you need to? Well, our guest today is here to share with you some tax saving strategies to help you maximize profits for your law firm. Welcome to the Lawyer Millionaire Podcast, where our mission is to guide law firm owners to a financially secure and prosperous future. I'm your host, Darren Wirtz, financial planner for law firm owners. Today, we're joined by Jaden Doye, also known as the law firm's CPA. Jaden is a certified profit-first professional, as well as a successful author and speaker. He helps law firm owners optimize their operations for profit while minimizing their tax obligations. Great stuff that we all would love to hear more about. Jaden, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here today. We're coming up soon into tax season, and I'm sure this is something that's on a lot of people's minds. Before we kind of dive into taxes, why don't you share with our audience a little bit about who you are and your background?
Absolutely. So I am originally from the DC, Maryland area, and I now reside in Atlanta, and I've been here for 9 years. And of the 9 years, the past 5 years, I've had my company, Prestige Accounting and Consulting, where we do exactly what you talk about, focus on helping lawyers increase their profits and become more profitable, pay less to the IRS. But more importantly, I like to focus on the lifestyle that the law firm owner is living. So I love to travel, and I travel every month. And I take business trips, not vacations. So I don't care if you see me in Mexico or Jamaica, there is a business purpose as to why I'm there. That allows me to, when I come back to work in the physical office, I am at 110%. And I don't think enough people really give themselves enough of a break from being in the office or being in the courtroom, and they end up being burnt out. And so I want people to know that there are ways to increase your profits and increase your revenue without burning out. Because I too, at one point, was overworked, underpaid, burnt out, working 80 hours a week. Doctor told me I had high blood pressure in my 20s. And I was determined to make a change. And since making those changes, I've made multi-millions in my company.
Wow, that's fascinating. And what a great idea to, you know, incorporate your personal endeavors and experience. This is something I've talked with a lot of business owners about, you know, the vacation and tying some business purpose to your vacation. I know we're going to get into this a little bit more later, but can you tell us a little bit more about how that works for taxes?
So as it pertains to travel deductions, the IRS looks at how many days you were there in total, and then they compare that to how many days of that total trip were business days. Now, the days that they're counting are only Monday through Friday. So what you do on Saturday and Sunday is your business. So I strategically go to conferences, speak at conferences that are at locations where I can also enjoy myself after my speaking obligation and network obligations are done. So I get the best of both worlds. So if I have a 3-day conference in Miami and it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I saved the proof. So I saved the flyer. I saved the program. I have email correspondence showing that I was participating in this program. So in the event of an audit, I can showcase that to show that this is an ordinary and necessary business expense. And most likely there would have been a new client that I would have gotten from an event like that, further proving the validity of that trip. So what I did on Saturday and Sunday with my personal money is my personal business, but I will use the business card to pay for things such as the airfare, the hotel, the taxis or Lyft, things of that nature. All of that are, and even the meals that I have with prospective clients or prospective networking partners, all of that are genuine business expenses that the business takes care of.
Very cool. I love it. So what are
So
some places? Yeah, go ahead.
just to put things into perspective, I spent, I want to say, probably over $40,000 on travel in the past 12 months. And all of those business travel expenses are that I have legitimate receipts for it. You know, like Whitney
Yeah.
Houston once said in an interview, show me the receipts. I have
Yeah,
it.
and then it's pre-tax and it's coming off of your taxable income and saving you a lot of money, especially if you're up in those high tax brackets.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some of the places that you've been? I'm just curious.
Some of the favorite places that I've been, one was Tulum, Mexico. So we hosted a business reset retreat there in last December. So that was one of my favorite places. Also, I really enjoyed Nashville. I went there, I was a speaker for CleoCon there, and that was a really nice trip. Miami, I've done quite a few events in Miami, and usually I have a good time there. And those are the top three that have come to my mind. But I will say I'm really looking forward to the next trip, which is South Africa. We're doing a retreat, a business retreat there in South Africa for a week, and I'm definitely looking forward to that.
That's great. Yeah. I'm thinking about this as I'm going into 2024. I'm like, okay, where are some places I really want to vacation to? Are there any like financial advisor conferences or things I can attend, things like that? I was at I did a conference last fall with the ABA in Kansas City. And actually I was really impressed with Kansas City. It's a really cool city. But I would love to get to, Miami or Tulum. That sounds fantastic. For a business purpose.
And you know, we're not only using it for the tax deduction, but also using it to grow our business. So, for
Yeah.
instance, if you are a business attorney and you have a narrow niche market where you specialize in working with medical practices, let's say you are always in the know with new releases as it pertains to HIPAA and various things of that nature, then it would behoove you to look at various different medical conferences and go to them. The ticket is ordinary and necessary business expense for you to go and network, and the travel can be tax deductible. But that's also a good opportunity for you to get in front of your ideal client avatar and then get to know them on a personal level, and that could even lead to future speaking engagements. So I say do it twofold. You know, you not only want to go to the conferences with people that are in your profession, but also where your ideal clients are. And so
Yeah.
that's one of the things that's helped my business grow is that I'm very visible. You know, I attend or I'm a part of a lot of law firm and law management events and conferences. And so that definitely has helped me grow the brand over the years much more faster than many of my peers.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, how does it work with like your family? If you have a spouse or kids, can you bring them along on these trips too? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it depends. I would say, if possible, see if you can hire them in the business. That's another oftentimes missed opportunity that lawyers miss out on. I can give you an example. We helped a client where the spouse was working a job where they only got paid $30,000. And what we realized is that there was a deficiency in the business as far as business development is concerned. The reality is that many trial attorneys are great at really being good in the courtroom, but some of them don't like to do the business development piece. Well, if your wife is a people's person, let's put her to work. Okay. So we can hold her accountable to say she needs to bring in X amount of business over the years. We're going to pay her a six-figure salary. And now you get to contribute to both of your retirement accounts. And so now you're lowering your taxable income by deferring some of that income. And let's be real, the wife is going to get this money either way. So let's find a way to make it tax deductible and make it work for the business where you're bringing in more business so you can create more jobs. So if those employee, if your family members are employees, then it further makes it valid to show that we're going, I'm taking the team with me. I'm taking employees with me. It will be no different if you had employees that weren't related to you. But what I will say is that if you, when you hire family members, please create a legitimate job description and also make sure that you have some type of, if you want to make sure that it's even more valid, make sure that I would suggest even using time tracking tools so that they can enter their time, so that in the event of a not only an IRS audit, but a Department of Labor audit, you have those records to show that these people are actually working in your business. We're not just paying our children to sweep the floors and take out the trash. We're actually creating and maybe an admin position, or if they are sweeping the floors and taking out the trash, we're creating a janitorial position. But this is great because this also gives them work ethic early on, so that whether they continue to work for you or work for other people, they're already ahead of the curve.
I love that. That's a really unique part of it that I hadn't thought of before. You know, if your family members are employees, then yeah, they come along with you, your vacation, you know, as long as there is a business purpose in there, you can write off a lot of that. That's a very, very great perspective. I love that. Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Jaden, what got you interested in taxes in the beginning, and why law firms specifically?
Okay, so the answers to those are two completely different answers. So I have always been good at math. Okay, so about 11th grade is when you start to realize what you're going to major in college. And so I took an accounting course and, I would be done my work quicker than everyone else. Like it took me 15 minutes to complete the assignment. Why are you guys taking an hour and a half? It's not that difficult. Debit, credit, plus, minus, you know? And so at that point, teachers spoke highly of me and pushed me into, well, if you're good at this, then this is something that you should look at doing professionally and majoring in college. So went into college, majored in accounting, and actually, I think that my school had the worst tax professor in the sense that his he had he just was like had the worst attitude. I don't know how this guy still has a job. He told us it was
Oh,
against
no.
the rules in his class to drink from a bottle because
Oh,
it is
wow.
unprofessional. And in the workplace, if you drink from a bottle, then you can get kicked out of a meeting.
Oh,
I
my
drink
goodness.
from water, a water bottle in many of my meetings. Okay, my clients know I have to drink at least a gallon, a half a gallon of water a day. So I do that to kick it to him. You know, I think about him all the time.
Oh,
But
wow.
that didn't push me away from doing taxes. I had an internship with the VITA campaign. So the IRS has a voluntary can't a voluntary program where people can get there. If you made at the time, if you made under $50,000, and you were, you know, just W-2 or you had a simple tax return, you could come to one of the VITA locations during tax season, get your tax return done for free. And so I did that internship and did very well. and did that for 2 years. And that's what got actually that got me into tax. But let me take it back. I learned how to do taxes in the second grade. Yeah, we were in a ta I was in a talented and gifted program, and let me tell you, we were just we were they just pushed us much they pushed us hard. So yeah, I learned how to do taxes in the second grade. So that first got me interested, and then many years later did it in college. Now, as it pertains to working with lawyers, I am a high achiever. I thrive in environments where I'm around intelligent people and people that enjoy the finer things in life and are like myself, licensed professionals. And so when I first started my business in 2019, I had maybe about five niche markets that I focused on, but they were close. They were all professional services, and I gave myself a year to niche down even more. Because when people say their niche market is professional services, I'm so sorry to disappoint you. Professional service providers is not a niche market. It's not, okay? Go back to the drawing board and go deeper. And so what I did was I would do a marketing campaign, and I talk a lot about this in my book, Raise the Bar, but I would do a marketing campaign and I would do interviews. And through interviewing these wonderful attorneys that owned their own firms, I realized that there was definitely a need in the market because so many people were te once the third person told me that they were doing their IOLTA accounting in Excel, I was like, okay, this is clearly a thing where someone like me needs to come in. And I learned just how many people are losing their license. Thousands of lawyers lose their license every year for IOLTA mismanagement. And so many people, I would see so many lawyers that wanted to create great impact, but because they were playing small and because they didn't have the tools and resources and knowledge that I had to grow their firm, they were unable to really create the impact that they wanted. And so I resonated with all of that and decided that that would be the avenue that I would take. And I knew it would be a tough at first. I knew it. And I purposely picked a market that I knew would not be easy because I like a challenge at the end of the day. And I knew that if I picked something easy, anybody could do it and there's going to be a lot of competition. However, if I become an expert working with this market that is difficult, that people don't want to work with, then that will make me stand out even easier. You know, it'll make my UVP, unique value proposition, even stronger. And so that's how that went. And it's been amazing since then. And a lot of people say, I can't believe you work with lawyers. Now, here's the thing. I don't work with people I don't like. So I know that. So there are great lawyers and there are lawyers with a nasty attitude. There are unethical lawyers. I don't work with those people. I mean, when I'm on the consultation, they think they're interviewing me. No, I'm interviewing them. So if I get a sense that, oh, you like to use your IOLTA money at the mall, I'm not going to send an offer to engage my firm. We're not doing that.
Absolutely. Well, thankfully, I think that's definitely a minority. Most attorneys out there I know are great people, and I'm sure you have the same experience.
Absolutely.
What you know, in your experience, having worked with law firm owners and seen some of the things that they struggle with and deal with, you mentioned the IOLTA accounts. Are there some other pitfalls or challenges that you find are common among law firm owners when it comes to taxes?
Definitely thinking that tax season is just something that you worry about in April. Tax season and tax planning season is year round. So with our clients, we're talking either every month or every quarter about their numbers so that they're prepared and that they're paying money to their estimated tax payments throughout the year. So as a certified Profit First professional, we help implement the Profit First cash management system with our clients. And long story short, what this is on the surface is that The law firm has multiple bank accounts. And ev from every sale or every time they earn income, they're setting money aside, a certain percentage aside for taxes. They're setting a certain percentage aside into a profit savings account so that they can treat themselves once a quarter. And the remainder is going into the operating account. So they're not just looking at their online banking and seeing, oh, I have $30,000 in the bank, I can spend it all. They're getting into the habit of working with less. So when we get better in as far as managing our cash, then we can get better with paying our taxes on time so that when tax season, when it's time to file the taxes, we're close to break even, or we have a refund that we can apply to the next year. And so changing that mindset a lot of times with a lot of people can be work in the beginning, but seeing the changes that happen after the first year of working with us has been amazing.
Yeah, that's great. We deal with that similar idea in on the personal finance realm that I have talked with a lot of clients about is the idea of saving first versus saving last, or saving what's left over. So often we get in that fall into that that trap. Was working with some clients recently who are getting paid quarterly almost. Large amounts of money and then just kind of spending it down throughout the month, the quarter. And I was like, okay, let's try and get a quarter ahead. You know what I mean? So we can build in that cushion and not be panicking and putting money on credit cards and waiting for, that big payment to come in. So it sounds like the work you're doing, it's more than just like, okay, how can I save money on taxes? It's more like, really helping businesses or law firms improve their overall financial health. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. And
Yeah.
finding ways to find a middle ground between creating the lifestyle that you deserve to live and creating a profitable business and paying less to the IRS. I believe that if you're a small law firm, you should strive to have a first-class firm. And a first-class firm means you have at least seven figures in gross revenue, you're paying yourself a six-figure salary, and you take at least six vacations a year.
I love it.
I
Pay
mean, why
yourself.
not?
Yeah,
Right.
absolutely. Yeah. You have to pay yourself. One of the things I've seen when working with folks is they'll pay themselves, but then they'll put money back into the business. And it's so critical to keep the personal and the business side of things separated from each other. That's
Absolutely.
so important.
Yep.
Jaden, are there some actionable steps or tips, strategies that you want to share with our listeners that they could maybe implement immediately to improve their bottom line?
One thing as far as improving profitability is assessing your fee structure. So for the people that are contingency, this applies less to you, but the people that are flat fee or hourly, really looking at what the market offers and see how you can differentiate yourself and what value you bring that's different and how you can charge a premium on it. For example, family law attorney, you're doing more than just filing a divorce. You're maybe connecting them with maybe you connect them with a new financial advisor, a new maybe sometimes people need a whole new identity. And so you're connecting them with a therapist. You're really offering this person a whole new life. So think about all of the ways that you've helped your other clients in the past and figure out a way to package that. And then how to effectively communicate the value of that to prospects so that there's no question as to why they would say no to work with you. Because I don't believe small firms are they don't have the infrastructure to run a volume-based firm. That's the reality of the situation. You have two choices: to run a volume-based firm or a value firm. And a bunch of low-value clients will burn you out so quickly versus having less clients that high value, you can actually scale much easier with that. And the other thing I would say is find a way to get your expertise out of your head and into a learning platform. Too often do I work with attorneys that have been the only attorney in their firm for so long, and they want to grow, but they need someone else to go to court, right? Well, and they say, nobody's going to do it like me. Well, is your method really that good if you can't teach it? So figure out a way, hire a virtual assistant, work with them every day so that they can take your methods, write it down, put it into a learning platform. So every attorney or paralegal that works under you has a standard, streamlined way of serving your clients. And that way, when we have a standard, streamlined way of serving our clients, then we're not wasting time and we can bring on more clients. And that's how we are going to increase our profit, especially if you have a flat fee. Efficiency is the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. And I second what you said about assessing your fee structure there. I think one of the things we have to think carefully about is how inflation has changed the value of goods and services. If your fees have stayed flat for the last couple of years, you're actually charging less today than you were a couple of years ago, because the value of money has declined as inflation has ramped up. And so you need to keep pace with that. And then your prices are prices of the things that you're buying, the people you're having to pay, all of those costs are going up. And it's important to keep pace with all of that.
Absolutely.
Well, Jaden, where do you think things are going in the future? Are we going to be paying more in taxes in 10, 20 years? What's the future of tax law look like? Or what are some big things coming that we need to think about?
Well, it will always fluctuate. And the reality of the situation is that, you know, with every new administration, there's going to be a change. So whether people identify as Republican or Democrat, there's, you know, always going to be good and bad that come, you know, there's no way that any president can please everyone. And so I think that we just have to be strategic with making sure that we're working with professionals that can keep us in line. And when these new changes come about, like when the Trump administration came in, that was a big, there were big changes with tax law, and some of those things are actually phasing out. And so just staying abreast, working with people that value education and actually take time out to do education, not just getting their staff to do this continuing education for them. Mm-hmm. See, lawyers in Georgia only have to do about 12 hours. CPAs in Georgia have to do 80 hours of continuing education every 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot that we have to do. And it makes sense because of the level of service that we offer our clients and the assurance that we give them.
Yeah. And the number of changes. You're so right. I think just staying abreast of all the things that are evolving. COVID brought so many changes with the COVID relief and economic stimulus and everything that was going on. You know, unexpected things are always happening. And if you don't have a professional by your side keeping you aware of those, you may miss a lot of those opportunities that come along.
Absolutely.
Well, Jaden, I have one more question for you as we're coming kind of to the end here. And it is, what is your millionaire mission? And what I mean by that is, what drives you? Or is there a big goal that you're reaching for or aiming towards?
I have reached my big goal, my monetary goal.
Okay.
So now it's a shifting goal from an impact standpoint. How many people can I help to create a first-class firm? Goals have been shifting now.
Okay.
So I want to help at least 100 law firms become millionaires.
I love it. And that's what we're all about here on The Lawyer Millionaire. Mm-hmm. For sure. All right, Jaden. Well, would you share with our audience how they can learn more about you or get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Absolutely. So my website is accounting-atlanta.com. And if they want to book a call, they can go to talktojaden.com.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, that concludes today's episode of The Lawyer Millionaire. If today's discussion resonates with you, consider leaving us a review. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you're ready to take further steps toward financial freedom, please visit our website at thelawyermillionaire.com. I'm your host, Darren Wertz, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Lawyer Millionaire. Click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. This content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. This content is not intended to represent investing or tax advice. Always seek the advice of a qualified investment or tax advisor with any questions you may have regarding your own financial circumstances.